Right. Fantastic. Weekend away. We really want to really encourage you to come on that weekend away. It'll be a really excellent time. And I love the way it is the place where you set all sorts of traditions, actually. So don't miss it out. I felt when we were just finishing off worship that I felt God said he wanted to break free from some constraints for us. And I just need to ask you, where is the place where a fish is most at home and operates most effectively? In the water. Where is the place where an eagle is most effective and most an eagle? In the sky, soaring above. Where is a Formula One car best used? On a motorway. On the M25, late at night. When the old Bill don't see. No, it's not. Okay, it's supposed to be on a racetrack. And you just need to know that I felt the place where I most come alive, where I am most Duncanish, where I'm the most the person that I should be, is when I'm in the presence of God and when I'm worshiping. And when I'm understanding who Jesus is and who he speaks to me. And it was really interesting. Last night, yesterday we had a great deal and I had a great day. We spent a lot of time outside, and being outside is very good for you, just so you know that. And I chopped down a really big tree, which made me very, very happy with my chainsaw. And it was great. And we were outside and then came to the evening and then I just sat down. And normally, to be honest, we would sit down and we would, I don't know, watch television or something. But last night we lit a fire and I sat in the front room by the fire. And I just read my Bible. You know, it was absolutely, and some of the things that God spoke to me, and I wasn't reading it for anything. I wasn't reading it to prepare for this. I was just reading it. I thought, oh, you are allowed to do it. But God spoke to me in it. And I just felt that actually the story that Dave was alluding to and what we were doing in worship was all about this prodigal son, about this moment of coming back to God. Because when we're in Christ, we are most the person that God intended us to be. And I just thought, oh, we hear that and we hear about all these rings and robes and all sorts of things. But I thought, I want to give you an opportunity, actually. If you feel that you have been away from God for a little bit, I want today to be the morning when you say, no, today is the day when I'm coming back to my Heavenly Father. So, Jonathan, I don't know if it's possible. Well, that wasn't supposed to be up there just quite yet. But anyway, can you go right to the end, Jonathan, just very quickly? We'll show everyone all the slides. And then, okay. So this was a prayer that we used. We used it last week, but I want to just use it again. Because if there is anybody here this morning that knows that you have just wandered away from God, I believe that when you are with God through Christ, it is the place where you most come alive, where you are most the place, you are most the person that God created you to be. So I wonder if we could, if you felt God was speaking to you about that, why don't we just read this prayer together? Because I think sometimes it takes an act of you speaking something out and you're speaking into your own life and you're saying, no, I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life above anything else. And then we'll crack on with what we were supposed to be doing. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'll read it and then why don't we all repeat this together? If this is the moment you think, I'm going to turn back to God to be the person that God made me to be, I'll read it. And then why don't you just repeat that sentence after me? Heavenly Father, thank you that you have always loved me.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you have always loved me.
That through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
That through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
I can now have new life in you.
I can now have new life in you.
I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
He is the way, the truth, and the life.
And help me now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
And help me now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
If that was a moment when you think, I am just going to come back and be the person that God created me to be, I would really love to pray for you just at the end of this service. Last week, we looked at this issue. If we can go back, all the way back again, Jonathan, that'd be really helpful. Last week, we looked at this problem that God has a problem, that he is invisible, that nobody, this is what it says, nobody has ever seen God. And he does have this little bit of a problem. And we talked about last week how in the Old Testament, a lot of Israel's enemies really ripped it out of them. And they really took the mickey out of Israel and they gave them a hard time. And they said, "Like you worship some God that's invisible. And if you want to come and see some God, we'll show you some gods. Come into our temples and here are all our gods and you can see them. But what you worship something that's invisible, you're barking mad." And people will still say that to you today. If you believe it, if you say, "I believe in Jesus," they say, "Oh, you're mad. You give your money to something that's like invisible. You're absolutely barking mad. How could you do it?" This problem that God has of his own invisibility. And then we looked at this, that the fact that Jesus did actually reveal himself, that God, revealed himself. He revealed himself through creation. And then at the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but Jesus has made him known." And this morning, I want to take it a step further. We looked at that one last week, and today I want to look at this, the other aspect of it. When it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete within us." And so the implication is this, that whereas Jesus showed who God was, the implication is this, that if you and I love each other, if I really love Dave, the invisible God is made known. That's what it is saying. If you and I learn how to really love each other effectively, then we make God known to other people. And you think, "Oh, I am so bad at evangelism. I really don't want to walk down to Graham Park. I really don't want to share my faith. I'm not very good at talking about it." Well, what this verse is saying is this, that if you and I learn how effectively to love one another, we make God known. It's fantastic. We're looking at three things in the church. One, how to enjoy God's presence. Two, how to see people saved. And three, that we want to transform the culture and society that we live in. Those are the three things that we're going for. And that's what we're just explaining and unpacking it. So at the moment this morning, can you just turn please to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. So what I want to show is by reading these verses, and just for a few minutes this morning, is that I want from these verses to demonstrate the fact that the way that we live with each other and the way that we talk to each other and the way that we talk about one another behind each other's backs, okay, and the way that we fight for the honor of somebody else and the way that we prefer somebody else and the way that we speak about somebody else, that could be one of the most evangelistic things that you do. And you think, "No, surely you just have to go and..." No, okay, I just want to show it to you. 1 Peter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." I think those first few verses, all they're saying is how you live, what you do in your life, how you spend your money, it's all very, very important, how we relate to one another. And these next few verses talk about the centrality of Jesus. "And as you come to him, Jesus, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture," this is talking about Jesus, "Behold, I am laying a stone, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do." And then it says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Now, all of those were promises that were spoken over Israel. But what Peter is really clearly saying here is that the promises that were spoken over Israel now become our promises. As a church, whatever was spoken into Israel now is spoken into us as the church. You think, oh my word, that's extraordinary. All those promises are spoken into us. And then it says this, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and as travelers, it says, and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that they will speak against, so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. All these promises over us, basically who we are as a people, the promises that were spoken over Israel, are now spoken of. Why? So that we can just tell people about the excellencies of who Jesus is. It's a major calling on our life that if we truly worship God and if we long to be in his presence and if we long to bow down and honor him and glorify him above all else, it would be impossible for us not to talk about how good Jesus is to other people. And we need to let people know how much God loves them, how Jesus was crucified for them, how he came back to life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be saying to people, no, you can, but this person who's utterly changed my life, he can change your life as well. And the one thing that I'm really aware is that sometimes I see people whose lives were just dramatically changed. I don't know if you know a guy called Clive Sharp, who leads the church down in Islington. He is a really great friend of mine. But I know how much Clive's life has been changed. Totally changed. If I'm honest, he was just a bit of a... He will tell his own story. And actually, we'd love to get him up. He was going to come and preach here today, actually. But a few weeks ago, he said he couldn't do that. But I know that his company did the fencing, the new gates out there. And so we like that. But the way he started his fencing business was quite interesting. He basically forcibly took over other businesses. He used to run a business minding doors on clubs. And what he did is he noticed the clubs that he wanted to work in, and with a few of his friends, he would go up to the team of guys that were working on the doors, and he would say so politely, I just need to let you know, we're taking this business over. Is that okay? By and large, they would say, no. And then a few minutes later, they would say, okay. Now, what went in between is between God and Clive, but he was an interesting man. And he was very, but do you know what? Clive is the most evangelistic person I know. He will go and speak to anybody on the street because he knows this. God has so utterly, utterly changed his life. And the difference, he is compelled to go out onto the street and say, no, my life is so totally, totally different. But you know, there is a call on God, on us, to allow what God has done in our lives. So we come in and we worship God. And then actually, I've heard this phrase about the church gathered on Sunday and scattered on Monday. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to be a church in here on Sunday, loving Jesus, worshiping, singing our praises. But then on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the church is scattered. We're all involved in our offices, but we're bringing something of good's grace and mercy. And we are not just Christians here on Sunday. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. These verses that talk about in Peter here says, no, God has done an extraordinary to proclaim the extraordinary excellencies of what God has done. Now, okay, so I think we might get the idea. Yes, that is what we're called to do. Okay, so how do we share our faith? Well, there's a number of different ways. One is just like personal evangelism. Hands up if you really love going out into the streets and talking to anyone and sharing the gospel with them. Go on, put your hand. You've got to say you really love it. What? One, two, what? Only three of us? That's mad. We're not a very good church, are we? Okay, there are some people. So I think I am learning to like it, okay? It's not something that I naturally, but actually I think, no, it's something, but it's not for everybody. Okay, so I just need to let you know, I was talking to a guy on this week, and he's a plumber. And he's great. He loves Jesus. He really loves Jesus. But what he was saying was this: oh, I really love Jesus, but I find it quite hard to be a Christian plumber, to be a plumber at work, to share my faith. And I thought, I know a man you need to meet. His name is Jules Yonker. Okay. Is Jules in, or is he doing kids? He's doing kids, okay. You can go and talk to him afterwards, okay. But he is an electrician, but he is the most God-fearing, spirit-filled electrician that I know. And he just constantly prays for people when he's at work. And he doesn't mind, maybe because he's South African, I don't know. But it's not because he's South African. It's because of the Spirit of God is just coming. And there's the boldness within Jules that he does that fantastic. He's the best electrician I know, by the way. If you want to get some jobs done in your house, go and speak to him. He'll do a very good job. But he's a spirit-filled man. And he will go and pray for anybody if you're in his house. And he's, if he's doing an electrician's job for somebody, and he says, oh, my back is really hurting, he'll be doing all he should be saying, oh, can I just pray for you? So there's something about personal evangelism. Yeah, we get that. It's very, very good. The other way that we can share our faith is through mass evangelism. Billy Graham, over the years, has done an outstanding job in seeing many people saved, and many people share testimony. And there's something coming up with J. John this year that I think we really need to get involved in. But it's mass evangelism, inviting. But what is the third way that we can really share our faith? 1 John 4, verse 12 says this: no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The invisible God is made known when I learn to love you, and when you learn to love me. And when you learn to love the person sitting next door to you and on the other side. There is a truth in there. Did you know that we are supposed to be the living embodiment of the gospel? Did you know that? Did you know that we are supposed to be a signpost of what heaven is like in this building? If you want to know what heaven is like, go and have a look at Trinity Church in Colindale. Really? What? This whole built, really, I'm going to go there. I thought heaven was this fantastic thing that was gold everywhere and there was angels singing. What, you want me to go look at Trinity Church? That's what heaven is like. Well, yeah, actually. Because that is what it is like. And not just Trinity Church, every church that put Jesus at the center. No, actually, just Trinity. No, okay, it's not just Trinity Church. Okay. You know, the gospel of Jesus has this wonderful, powerful visual aid. You are God's visual aid. You are the gospel. We are this visual aid for the power of the gospel. And it's when we have a community together where all the usual barriers that normally we put up against each other, and barriers of age and sex and nationality and background and position, when all those barriers come down, now we begin to be this visual aid for the gospel. The in Ephesians, it talks about, the manifold wisdom. So that is what the church is supposed to be. Do you know, I really love the fact, I totted up the numbers and worked out how many different cultures and nations are we in this church. And what I saw was something that I just absolutely loved. I love the fact that actually we are quite black and we are quite white, and we have all these different cultures in between. And I remember a friend of mine called Owen Hilton, who leads a church in southeast London. And I remember he's a black guy, and somebody said to him once, "Oh, Owen, I don't really see you as black. I just see you as Owen." Now, the thing was, the guy who said that meant it as a compliment, but Owen said, "Hang about, I am black, I am, that is who I am, you can't deny that." But I think the sentiment of what the guy was trying to say was this: that I don't define you by your colour, I don't define you by your skin, I don't define you by your gender, I don't define you by that. He meant well, but anyway, and I felt that on that, I want us to be more of a church, because it speaks something of the goodness and grace of who we are. And you know, there are many people that will come into this church and they'll say, "There's something different about this church." And what is it? There is something that's unusual about this church. And I want to just say to you, What is unusual is that together we pursue the presence of God and we try to love one another. And it's the powerful witness of the gospel. You know, I occasionally hear of churches that are quite nasty places. I don't know, I'm sure you would have never heard that. I'm sure you would have never heard of churches where there's quite a lot of bitching and, you know, talking about each other and things. I'm sure it's never happened. But say one church like that did exist, do you think they'd see many people saved? Do you think that people would come into that church and say, surely God is among these people, and fall on their face and worship Jesus? I doubt it. Because it says, no, the church is the wisdom of Christ. And what it's saying is here that God sometimes will seem to be invisible, but the love that we have for one another makes God visible. I don't know if these stats are true, okay? No idea. But you know there are the stats about when you communicate, what it communicates most effectively with people. And they have these three things: your words, your body language, and your tone. Is that right? Somebody said that? Tone, yeah. Okay, so I don't know if it's true. It may be completely true. Okay, so how much do you think is communicated by your... If you know these stats, you can chat out. How much is communicated by your words?
10%.
10%. I read 7%. What? So of all the stuff here, okay, only one word in 10 you're going to listen to, okay? But more you're listening to, oh, what's he doing with his arms? Or what's he doing with this? Or how totally... Okay, so let's say 10% on words. How much on tone, the tone of voice? How much did you say? Eight, did you say? 80. What did you say? 30, okay. Well, let's combine the two. It's actually 38, but we ran up to 40, okay. So 40% is how much tone and how you express yourself, which therefore leads how much for body language? I mean, that's 60, isn't it? 10 plus 30 is 40. Oh, okay, all right, okay. All right. For goodness sake. All right, okay, so 40% on the tone of your voice, 10% on the words, 50% on your body language. What it means is this. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank goodness for that. What it means is that actually that we are this embodiment of the gospel, and how we talk to each other and how we welcome each other and how we love one another and how we value each other and how we prefer one another and how we serve. That is something incredibly powerful of the gospel in itself. Why is it when people come to church, they say there's something different here? I think it's because and if you're a visitor this morning, you can correct me. I hope you weren't ignored. Has anyone been to a church and no one's spoken to them? Just put your hand up. Sad, isn't it? I hope it never, ever happens in this place. And what your responsibility is, if you've been here once, you expect people to talk to you, okay? Being here twice, you've got to talk to the others. Okay? That's how it works. If you have a friend that you're having a really good conversation with somebody and they're really expressing their heart desire and it's really deep, and you see somebody new that comes in that nobody's talking to them, what do? You stop talking to your friend. You've probably got their telephone number. You stop talking to them and you talk to the new person and you just, hello, my name is whatever your name is. It's nice to see you. And you just smile at somebody and you speak grace and truth into them. We see people coming in every week through CAP, through the Christians Against Poverty Debt Center that we run. We see people every week coming into contact with us through the food bank, through Sunday morning. We see people coming into contact with Trinity Church every single day through your workplaces, through the church scattered. And every time when we do that, we want to see something of the goodness of God's love in our lives. In a minute, I just want to ask, I know it's a little bit risky on a Sunday morning, but I'd like us just to talk with somebody next door to you in a minute. And the question is this: How have you seen love demonstrated in this church? And then I like the other question is, what do you think most demonstrates God's love within a church? So how have you seen it, and what do you think most demonstrates God's love? In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to do that, and then we'll see what happens when we come back. Application for us, what does it mean? If we want to be a church, we started off by saying we want to be a church of three things, and we will keep repeating them. Firstly, a church of the presence of God. Secondly, a church that sees people saved. And thirdly, a church that transforms culture. If we want to see people saved, and I believe that we do, and we will see it, we need to be a church that knows profoundly how to love one another, how to allow God to spill out from our lives, how to take risks with people, how to celebrate other people's victories, how to serve one another, and how to love your enemies. I just need to give you one small example of somebody who serves outstandingly well. Sarah, are you okay if I embarrass you? No. I just need to let, so Sarah, half-term week, has just been around in the church. And it's just the example I've seen. Okay. Sarah's just been around in the church, and Bliss, her daughter's been around as well. And we're working it out in the cabin at the moment, and we don't have any, like, coffee or tea or anything out there. I know, please, it's so sad. We have to get up and go and make it ourselves. But every few hours, Sarah would come in, and she wouldn't ask, would you like a cup of coffee? She just brings it all in. And then the other day, I was just there, and she just bought a sandwich in for us. Now, I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but what it means to me is that there is something of God's love within Sarah's life. Now, I suspect what's happened is this, that Sarah has seen God's love modeled in somebody else. I think she's seen it modeled in other people in the church. And Sarah has just said, oh, that's how you do it. I'll copy that. And then begins to serve. And you know, that is something that is, it is not, I promise you, it is not just about making cups of tea for people. It's about showing that I value you, and you are worthwhile, and I love you, and I'll do whatever I can for you as an act of love. And ultimately, it is not just about a connection here, a horizontal connection. It's about us connecting with God, because God has so loved us. And then people say, I want to be part of that. I want to see something of God's love. So what I want, just for a few moments, could you turn to somebody? And if you're new, and if you're sitting and you don't know anyone, well, this is a really good chance, okay, to see, okay, how welcoming. But I just want to make everybody involved in a conversation, and just for 2 or 3 minutes, how have you seen love demonstrated in the church? And what do you think most demonstrates love within the church? Is that okay? 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll come back. Okay, it's going to be a very quick conversation because we need to come back. Okay, last how long? 30 seconds? Last 30 seconds. Could you guys be ready to come back in a minute? Okay, right, we ready? I know it's going to be so difficult, but stop talking. Somebody told me that I'm not allowed to shush people. But I tell you what, when you're standing up here, you'll do anything it takes. Anything. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Anybody wants to give me just any, very, very quickly, but anything that you have seen love wonderfully demonstrated in the church?
Homeless shelter.
Homeless shelter, fantastic. Anything else? I hope there was a lot of talking going on. Just bringing meals for people who are unwell or had babies. Absolutely brilliant. Just supporting each other as a family, asking how you're doing. Yeah. Noticing when you're not there. Come on. Coming to the Hantons for lunch. There's a few people coming for lunch today.
Anything else? People are praying for you. You know, it could be Wednesday and somebody's praying for you and you're praying for someone else. You don't have to be in church to be doing that.
Yeah. Knowing somebody's praying for you. Can I just let you know, Andy Cooley led a prayer meeting on Friday morning and we prayed through every single person that serves in the church. It's great. On a Sunday morning. We had all the names out. We prayed for every single one of you. Just that God's blessing would be in your life. It's great. I loved it. Anything else? Offering a sofa. Yeah. Food bank. Taking a day off to help somebody move house.
Generosity.
Anything else? So if you didn't, did you hear that? Michelle just saying acceptance. When she first came to the church, she wasn't in an ideal place, but it didn't really make any difference. People just loved Michelle and accepted her. Okay. Can I ask you to stand? I'm just going to pray that the verse that we looked at, that no one has ever seen God, but when we love one another, God lives in us. And we make the invisible God known. Holy Spirit, I want to pray, would you fall on us right now? That we would be people that know so deeply how much you have loved us. How much you are for us. You are like the father in that story of the prodigal son, who just waited on the roof and looked out and looked down a long and winding road just in the hope of seeing the speck of his son returning. And when that speck arrived and then the son walked down the road, and when he finally came back to the farm, a massive party was thrown. Did he throw the party just because he wanted to celebrate, but actually he threw the party because he profoundly loved his son. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that that is how you love me. And I want to thank you that is how you love every single one of us. That you accept us. That you clean us up. That you commission us. That you fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, because we know that you love us, I pray that there'd be a profound love for one another in the church. All these examples that we've heard, and all the examples that we, Lord, that we thought about but didn't call out, Lord, I want to thank you for every single one of those. I want to thank you for every single person who's practically demonstrated a love, who's stepped out in boldness to welcome a visitor, to step out in boldness to welcome an outsider. And we say, Holy Spirit, come upon us, because we believe it's something of the gospel in it, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would see hundreds of people place their trust in you, King Jesus, because they've learned what it is to be loved by us, oh God.
come on us.